All right, welcome back to Ask the Pastor. Do remember that the theme for Ask the Pastor is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. And as always, it's better to look at it and not just quote it, but look at it and say, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Approved unto God. That's all we are here to do. Okay, so we have more questions coming in. And this is Shalom to the Bride of Christ. And Brother Gibbs from South Africa. My question one, which scripture, the scripture that supports William J. Simon as prophet messenger? That's question one. So is there any scripture that supports William Simon as a prophet messenger? And question two, okay. Question two says, according to the divine timetable, which activity are we expecting that support the rapture is to come? So let's start with question one. So asking if there any scripture that supports William Simon as a prophet messenger?
No, he's not a prophet messenger. Who says Simon is a prophet messenger? Okay. I don't know where he got that from. I didn't say so. So, William Simon is in the order of Martin Luther. Martin Luther was not a prophet messenger. Okay. To restore justification and John Wesley was not a prophet messenger. Mm. To restore sanctification. And William Simon, in the same order God used to restore the gifts, to complete the three works of grace that was destroyed at Nicaea, fulfilling Matthew 13, verse 33 parable. The three measures of meal that was mixed with leaven, which I've tried to explain. So I don't know who is teaching that William Simon is a prophet messenger. I don't know who is that, and I don't know where they got that from.
All right, so let's go to question two.
So maybe you ask whoever thought that, the person should be able to clarify it for you. Yes. Okay. And the second part.
Question two from Brother Guy from South Africa says, according to the divine timetable, which activity are we expecting that supports the rapture? It will occur soon. That is, which activity are we expecting that supports the rapture will occur soon?
This question too is again technical. When you say activity, I don't know what you mean by activity. Maybe the Bible lets us know the signs. There are signs we are to watch out for. There are signs we are to watch out for. And those are the signs that we are looking at, and they are all in the scripture. One of the signs that we watch out for is the restoration of Israel. And Israel is being restored for the fulfillment of the prophecies for them. The gospel will be coming back to them. And so you note that if they are gathering there now in their homeland, it's a sign that the Gentile days will soon be over. And among other signs that we look up to is the complete restoration of the word, the perfecting ministry. Because when the fruit is produced, according to Mark chapter 4, verse 26 parable, then it takes the sickle, the rapture takes place. So the fruit, because the seed that was planted on the day of Pentecost, destroyed, will be formed again as, you know, in the process of restoration. And so we are seeing that that perfection, this church that was planted on the day of Pentecost is being formed again in power, in doctrine, in everything. Once you begin to see a group of people that will not hold on to any other thing than the word of God, back to the apostolic faith that was destroyed before, totally embracing all the Bible doctrines and God confirming it as he confirmed them in the days of the apostles, then you know that the rapture is at hand. And of course, Christ himself in Matthew 24 gave us the sign. This is the way he put it in Matthew chapter 24 from verse 23.
Okay. 23. And it says, then if Any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not.
Yes. Christ. What he's trying to say is, when you begin at the end time, when you begin to see anybody lifting up any man, pointing to any man, and that is why I am very, very weary of those who are lifting William Branham beyond what God has done to him. You should not lift him beyond what the ministry is all about, to make him look like the Messiah, make him look like all the things they portray him. That is why Christ gave this scripture. Yes?
For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, in so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect.
Is it not fulfilling now? Maybe. It's fulfilling now. Yes, so these are some of the signs. Then what did he say?
Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not.
Now this is a sign. This is how you will know.
For as a lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be.
And then he added, verse 29.
For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together.
So you will notice something here that he said, as the light moves from the east, the sun shines and sets in the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Yes, the light there is talking of the light of the gospel that started in the east in Israel, and watch the revival that was going on. Revival the same way that it started in the east, and see how it kept moving until you see the Azusa Street revival that took place in America, and producing this Pentecostal age that we refer to now, the Laodicean Church age. Once you see that happen, then you know the gospel has ended with the Gentiles. The next day, where will the sun appear? In the east again, the gospel will go back to Israel. So, one very important sign that you have to know that the rapture is at hand is that the sun is setting in the west. God bless you.
All right. Question 3 from Brother Gift from South Africa says, why majority of people are doing things that are against God? Did God create man just to punish him at the end? Because majority of people are against the will of God.
Why?
Yes.
So you ask them now. It's the same reason what Adam did against the will of God, against the word of God. God gave you commandment, you choose to do your own. It's not God that pushed him to do it. I already told you, don't do that. You went and did it. What of the father of them all, Lucifer himself? He knew what to do. He did contrary. So why? It's a spirit of disobedience. And that is why judgment is coming upon the world for nothing more. Any other question from her?
No, it's a brother actually, Brother Gift.
Okay, it's a brother.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So God bless you, Brother Gift from South Africa. Okay, so we have other questions coming in. Okay, we have this is from Brother Ubong from Akwa Ibom State, Nigeria. Brother Ubong, God bless you. Please go on with your question, sir.
Okay, good evening, sir.
God bless you, Brother Ubong.
Shalom, sir.
Shalom.
Okay, sir, please, sir. I want to know the difference between one tenth and 10%.
Is that what you said,
yes.
Rabong? Okay.
Yes.
He wants to know the difference between 1/10 and 10%. That should be tightened.
Like for example, if I'm paying with tithe of 1,000, then I'm paying 1/10. It should be 10 naira. But if I'm paying 100, it's for 10%. So I want to know the difference between 10% and 1/10.
One tenth of 1,000 is what?
1/10 is 10 naira.
No, it's 100. 100 times 10 is 1,000.
Okay.
Go back. go back to primary school.
Thank you, sir.
Go back to primary school. So, God bless you.
All right, God bless you, Brother Ubong. So 1/10 and 10%, they're actually the same thing, and that's clear. Okay, so we have more questions coming in. This is from Kano. Brother Osita from Kano, Nigeria says, Shalom, my beloved Pastor Moses. Sir, I want to ask, as you are always telling us to be watching is the Israelites, the temple in Jerusalem. Has it been rebuilt? Because I heard some people say it has been rebuilt.
That's not yet been rebuilt. It's not yet rebuilt, but the time will come, according to the divine agenda, that Israel will build back that temple. Mm. Because that is the temple that Christ will be coming to sit down. Mm. That is the temple, too, that the Antichrist is interested in sitting down there. So we expect it to be built. Okay. It will be rebuilt.
Okay, God bless you, Brother Sita from Kano. We have another question. It says, Shalom, Brother Moses, more grace. Dennis writing from Cameroon. Brother Dennis, you say, God bless you. After reading and trying to understand these verses about salvation, Romans chapter 10, verse 10, Acts chapter 2, verse 21, Acts chapter 16, verse 31, Luke chapter 19, verse 10, and Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 10, and trying to follow the commands of Revelation chapter 22, verse 15. Do I have any business with hellfire or being rejected from entering into the kingdom of Jesus Christ on judgment day? What are his rewards when he comes? With all this that he's following, does he...
It's not because you are following anything.
Okay.
The only assurance of going to heaven, which is those who will go in the first resurrection, is number one, Romans 8 verse 9. The only reason why you will go in the rapture is Romans 8 verse 9. The only reason why you will go to heaven is Romans 8 verse 9, Romans 8 verse 11, and Colossians chapter 1 verse 27, and Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30. That is the reason why you will dodge hell. And of course, Mark chapter 16 verse 15 and verse 16. God bless you.
All right, question two still from our brother Dennis. The second part of the question was asking about rewards. It says, what are his rewards when he comes?
The rewards are in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. The overcomers of every age, the reward are stated there. God bless you.
Okay, I think the question still continues. If there's this saying, before God, everyone is equal, will some people get a bigger share of his reward?
Yes, according to Luke chapter 19, the parable of the talents. Yes, it is. That is, when we come before the judgment seat of Christ, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, we shall all come before the judgment seat of Christ to receive our reward. Everybody does not receive the same reward. It depends on what you are able to gain, according to that parable in Luke chapter 19, with the talent that was given to you. So some will have 10 cities, some will have 5 cities, some will even have 1 city, and some will have nothing at all, according to that parable. God bless you.
All right, God bless you, Brother Dennis. And so we have other questions coming in as they come in. Okay, from South Africa once again. John from Welcome Free State, South Africa. We say Shalom. Okay, it says John is quoting John chapter 19, verse 34. And says that the scripture says, from the side of Jesus came out blood and water. How do we use that water? And what was it for? Since we know that the blood was for the remission of our sins, and use the blood through the eating of the Lord's Supper in church. So what about the water? How do we use that water, and what was the water?
No, it's not you using it. It's you understanding it.
Okay.
It's not you. You are not using which water? It's 2,000 years ago. It flowed and it's gone. But what does it mean? They were all symbolic. The songwriter captured it where he says, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in this. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flow, you say, be of sin, the double cure. The be of sin, the double cure. Say, save from rot and make me pure. Now, now, what double cure? Sin had got us into bondage, which brought redemption, the price of redemption paid with his blood. He became the ransom for us, for our deliverance, for our freedom. So that is what that blood did. The water there is symbolic of also the grace that flowed from the Lord Jesus Christ. The thief, Satan, coming able to steal, kill, and destroy. Yes, but he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He's a life giver. We were bruised, but by his stripes we are healed.
Amen.
We are bruised because we are under the attack, under the bondage of Satan. There's nothing good to give us. It drained us all. But that water is signifying the restoration power of God. Anything that is dead, when you put water, it comes back to life.
Amen.
It came to give us life.
Amen.
After purchasing our salvation on the cross of Calvary with his blood. That is what that water signifies, and that is what the blood also signifies.
Amen.
Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ gave us an ordinance where he said, this is my body and this is my blood, and told us to eat and told us to drink. Now, you are now saying, maybe how do we link the water? The water there is abundant life, and that takes us to Psalm 107 verse 2.
Psalm 107 verse 2.
Yes.
And it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he had redeemed from the hand of the enemy.
Now, when it says say so, that is claim your freedom.
Amen.
Don't allow yourself to be in bondage again. Claim your freedom by the life that you live and pray daily.
Amen.
And possess your possession.
Amen.
That water guarantee abundant life. We are to swim and live our lives in abundant life.
Amen.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. God bless you, Brother John from Welcome Free State, South Africa. Okay, we have more questions coming in. And this is from Lagos. Brother Charles from Lagos State, Nigeria says, Pastor, please, sir, what do you mean by the second pool? And what are the three women in Revelation chapter 19? Brother Charles from Lagos State, Nigeria.
Three women in Revelation chapter 19.
Yes, that's what he said.
Are there three women in Revelation chapter 19?
No.
No.
I think he's missing something.
There are no. Go and read again. I didn't see any woman there. I only saw one woman there. The bride has made herself ready. One. You say, what do you mean by the second pool?
Yes.
Please get the message that I just concluded last Sunday in three parts, where I said the rapture pools. I think you will understand it better than just these few minutes to explain. There are three pulls to pull us away from the earth to glory. Justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. Again, even resurrection is in three phases. The first one, the first resurrection, first resurrection, the Bible says is the resurrection of life. It's in three phases. They are all pools to go to heaven. Matthew 27 is the first one. This the saints that resurrected. The second one is the soon coming one. And the third one, those two prophets that we see in Revelation chapter 11. So then also, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16 speaks about three: the shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. So when you say the second pool is the pool that attracts the real fish. So that when they come, then you take the third pool, and then the fish comes out of water. And remember, Jesus said, he'll make Peter a fisher of men. And so he taught Peter how to fish, and every fisherman knows you go with the fishing bait to attract the fish, and then the big fish will not come in time, so you pull a little bit so that he will see it. And so that power to catch the fish, the pull from the water of the world, the trick we use, or the process that we use in catching that fish. In every ministry, the monumental ministry of Christ and every other monumental ministry, that will have any effect with salvation, that is what you will go through. It starts with gifts. You see manifestation of gifts to attract the fishes to come. And then when they come, but the big fish will not come because they know that it's common anywhere. Then it will move from healing and deliverance gifts. It will now move to discernment. That is the second stage of the pool. The discernment, only God will know your name, know your problem, and speak, and it will just come to pass. Then the big fish will say, only God can do it. Then he will come. Then you prepare for the third pool. What will now bring that fish out of the water is not miracle. It's not signs and wonders. It's not healing and deliverance. It's the revelation of the word. The revelation of the word. That is what I always tell the ministers that always complain. I don't know, Pastor, I don't know why people come to my ministry and they go. They don't come back. After they come, they will receive the prophecy, they will receive the miracle, they will receive the testimony, they will receive deliverance, and then they will leave. They will go back to their church. They don't stay. And I always answer, I say, no hospital is a permanent address of anybody. You only remember the hospital when you are sick. Once you receive your healing, bye-bye doctor, you even forget his phone number. You may store it in case sickness comes again. So when they come to your place and you all you measure in is healing and deliverance, they will receive, after they receive, they go back to the beer parlor. They will go back to their erroneous church where they come from. And then you are wondering what is happening. But the big fish, when they come, they hear the word.
Amen.
I have known several people that came to my ministry and just to visit us. They come maybe for an occasion. They came for baby dedication day. Anytime they come like that, we get ready. We say we want to sell market. That's our language here. We go into the depth of the word of God. And they will say, wow, is there a place like this? Let me come back again. And the hook will catch them. So that is the third pool. That is the three pools. God bless you.
All right. So God bless you. Okay, so we have more questions coming in. This is Shalom, Pastor. You teach that it is wrong to baptize people in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, according to the command of Jesus in Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20. Rather, it should be done in the name of Jesus as done by the disciples in Acts of the Apostles, in a matter like water baptism, which Jesus spoke expressly. Should we follow the example of the disciples or the instruction given by Jesus, who is our perfect example? And this is Sylvester from Benin Republic.
You see why the scripture team for this program as the pastor is 2 Timothy 2:15. It says study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. What does it mean by to divide, rightly divide the word of truth? Is if you believe that this Bible does not have confusion anywhere, and that it was Peter and those apostles that were given direct command to go and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. Then they go and baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus. It simply means the name of the Father, one name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost is the Lord Jesus. It's
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
You are blinded by your denominational theology, and you are, you know. Is there anybody whose name is Father? I mean, simple logic. Is there anybody whose name is Son? Every father has a name.
Yes, sir.
Every son has a name. Yes, even spirits, every spirit has a name. So while there's no confusion here, you know, the Acts of the Apostle was direct obedience of the instruction of Matthew 28 verse 19 by the Lord Jesus. After they receive the Holy Ghost, he will lead you to all truth. He will cause you to remember what Christ has taught you. And scriptures abound that show that the name of the Father is Jesus. Jesus, that the Son was bearing the name of the Father. And the name of the Father is Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is coming in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, which is Jesus. God bless you.
Okay. All right. So, other questions coming in. Okay, from Zambia. Sister Priska from Zambia says, good evening, Pastor, and Brother Godson says, good evening to you. Sir, my question is about head covering for women in church during worship. Pastor, do we have to put any covering on our head as long as it is a cover? I ask so because of what I see some of my sisters in the assembly. Men's cap are worn, and this makes me wonder. Others also make me ask a lot of questions. Pastor, enlighten me on this issue. God bless you, Pastor Moses. This is Sister Priska from Zambia.
Let me catch that question again. You said, do we have to put any covering on our head as long as it is a cover? That means you agree that you should cover your hair.
Yes.
And the important thing there is that there should be a cover in obedience. Actually, it is a veil. That word there, cover there, is veil your head. It's to put a veil. And yes, you must put a cover, whatever it is. I don't want to go too much the legalistic, you know. It is symbolic. It is symbolic.
Yes, sir.
So whatever you put on your head, let the head be covered. I think what it intends to achieve is what we're looking at.
Okay.
But if you don't put anything at all, then you are disobeying that scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. God bless you. At least this person asking this question believes you should cover.
Yes.
The only problem is, why do some put on cap, face cap, and some whatever it is, you know. Whatever you do, put on a cover. It's usually young girls that do that, these things.
Yeah, yeah.
They must do fashion. Everything they want to do it fashionably. And a pastor will teach them properly, you know, to show humility and not put a face cap that actually shows deviance. There's a way you put that face cap that for a woman. It's even men that put that in. I don't know why a woman will go and put it.
Okay, we have a call coming. Brother Ike from Germany. Brother Ike, God bless you.
Hello, sir. Good evening.
Good evening. God bless you. Please go on with your question, sir.
Pastor, good evening, sir.
God bless you.
It's me again, Brother Ike from Germany.
It's me again, too, here. Pastor Moses Alu again here.
God bless you, sir.
You're welcome.
I know your testimony is that of Genesis 18, where God said, I know Abraham, for he will command me, and his household after me. And then we know the way of the Lord, and Jesus is the God bless you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Sir, please, I have something I want you to clarify me a little bit. It is about Ezekiel chapter 4. God was talking to Ezekiel in chapter 4. If you read from verse 4 to maybe around verse 6, he was saying that Ezekiel is going to lie down on his left side to bear the iniquity of the children of Israel for the period of 390 days. Then he will turn again on the right side to lie down for 40 days to bear the iniquity of the children of Judah. And it says, and each year will be, each day will be a year. So I want to know, is it symbolic, like a kind of the type of Christ? Or what is the significance of that action you want the speakers to do? Is it a futuristic something that signifies what Christ was going to do for the children of God?
No, Ezekiel was not a type of Christ. Ezekiel was a prophet. And God was telling him to do prophetic action that was stating the obvious, what will come to pass, what the problem that Israel had. And when it, after doing that, you know, judgment usually will come upon Israel. There was even a time he told the prophet to eat dung. There's another time he told him to told the prophet to marry prostitutes. Mm. And then they were given back to children, and he was giving them prophetic name. That is one ministry of a prophet. That's a prophet that God uses to speak prophetically to his people. It's not a type of Christ.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Secondly, I want to ask another question.
Go ahead.
It's a denominational question.
Go ahead. I will give you a denominational answer.
God bless you. You see, this action of sisterhood where the sisters stay in the convent and, for whatever reason, is it in accordance with what Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where he said they said in caring about the things of God? Or is there another Bible, another place in the Bible where that
You say sister, which sister? Sister that do what?
That, you know, this is sister who, like in the Catholic Church, they have the sisters that stay in convent. Those sisters that are not married. Is it that action was a point from what Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 7?
No.
Now, where he was talking about sisters not getting married.
No. Instead, they are doing exactly what Apostle Paul spoke against in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and I think verse 2. Now, he said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from their faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, verse 3. He said, forbidding to marry. And other things spoken there. Forbidding to marry. The practice of entering a vow of perpetual celibacy as a doctrine of a church will be wrong. But if you as an individual decide on your own by faith for the sake of the gospel not to marry man or woman, you have not sinned. But if you marry, you have also not sinned. But it is better not to marry if you have a call. That is what Apostle Paul is saying. So that your service of God is not distracted. But he quickly says, so that you avoid temptations, instead of condemning yourself and lusting and sneaking to commit fornication, he said, you better marry, because marriage is no sin. God bless you.
Okay, sir. Am I permitted to ask one last question? Or
go ahead. Okay, let me hear you.
Okay, sir. I want to ask the final question, and that is taken from Genesis chapter 22, where God said to Abraham, take your only son whom thou lovest. To a mountain, where Mountain Horeb, where I will show you, and there you will offer your sacrifice. Now, in churches, sometimes when you want to offer sacrifice, maybe they talk about sacrificing the church. Do I have the right to say, or to go to where the Lord is leading me to make that sacrifice? Or must I make that sacrifice in the local assembly where I worship?
Whatever you do it according to the instruction of the Lord. If he tells you to offer a sacrifice, sacrificial offering to him, it is always for a purpose. And it's to an individual. It's not a doctrine. It's to an individual. God can lead you to do anything. And it will also lead you to where it should be done. So it's not compulsory that it must be where you worship. It is where he will lead you to. Don't do it. Provided it is unto the Lord. But it's expected that if you are going to... It is expected that if you are going to... My brother Ike, if the Lord instructs you to give an offering unto him, It's expected the first place that will come to your mind is where you worship, because that is where you offer your worship, you offer your praise, you offer worship unto God. So the offering will naturally be there. That is where you worship.
Okay.
Unless he directs you otherwise.
Okay.
God bless you.
All right, God bless you, brother.
Okay. Right, thank you, both. More grace. Thank you.
More grace to you, too.
God bless you, brother. I came from Germany. All right. Okay. We still have other questions coming in. And this is from River State, Nigeria. Sister Nadish from Cross River State, Nigeria says, Shalom, sir. Good evening. Is it right for a Christian to celebrate Christmas? Sister Nadish from Cross River State is asking.
No, Christmas is not a Christian celebration. So what do you mean by it's just like you say, is it good for a Christian to go into a pagan celebrations? Every true Christian knows that Christmas is not a Christian celebration. Every true Christian, every sincere and true Christian knows. Because that celebration has history. You know, the history. Christmas was a pagan celebration long before Christ was born. It is the merging of Christianity with idolatry. And a compromise has to be made anyway. And so part of the compromise is to give those pagan celebrations Christian connotations. And so many more things, you know. So Christ was not born on the 25th of December. So why would you celebrate a date that is not the birthday of Christ and call it, you are celebrating his birth? Didn't he have a birthday? Why not celebrating on that birthday? It doesn't even make sense anyway. I have had argument of people saying Christians agreed that that day. Where did they agree? They agreed during that false meeting in Nicaea in AD 325. That was when they agreed. The false people agreed. The true people disagreed and they were killed. True Christians disagreed and they were killed. It was a false group, false vine that produced that. And so what you see today, a lot of things happening in the Bible, I mean in the Christian faith, is a product of that measure, of that union, of that marriage of paganism and supposedly Christianity. So the truth is Christ was born and we are happy and we celebrate. I mean, if he must be celebrated, then let's celebrate him on that date and not substitute it for a pagan worship date. God bless you.
And God bless you, Sister Nadish. God bless you. And so we still have more questions coming in. All right, Brother Kunle from Kwara State, Nigeria. Brother Kunle, shalom to you. And please go on with your question, sir.
Yes. Hello.
Yeah, God bless you, sir. Please go on with your question, Brother Kunle.
Okay, sir, thank you very much. I just want to ask that can a girl of 2 to 5 years, can you wear trousers or short knicker for him, just as soon as, to cover something like that?
We have thought that, and I've mentioned it several times, whatever you wear, there must be a purpose for it. There must be a motive for it. Certainly little children, little children playing up and down. Yes, if they wear a cloth, trouser, because they'll be jumping up and down, they'll be running up and down, they may not know how to comport themselves. And they wear that. They wear it to sleep. They wear it to play around. Nothing wrong with it. They're not wearing it for fashion now. But once they grow up to an age where they know right from wrong, then the parents should be able to teach them that where we come from, the heavenly kingdom, we don't wear men's clothes. And let them know that wearing trousers to go out as part of their dressing is a worldly fashion that Christians will not be allowed to put on. God bless you.
All right. God bless you, Brakunle. God bless you, Brakunle from Kwara State, Nigeria. Okay, we have another a question from Lagos State, Brother Spencer. So, Shalom, sir, I have read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and I discovered that the Jews did not accept Christ. Why did this happen? Is it a purpose of God or a mere coincidence? If it was a purpose of God, what was he, God, trying to achieve? And I guess he, God, achieved the purpose. Okay, Brother Spencer from Lagos State.
Apostle
Nigeria.
Paul gave us a reason in Romans chapter 11.
Okay. Romans 11.
Yes. In fact, from Romans chapter 10.
Okay.
This is... Let's read it from verse 1.
Romans chapter 10 from verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
For they being ignorant of God's righteousness.
They were ignorant of God's righteousness.
And going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God.
Now, not verse 4.
Verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth.
Now, so they could not accept Christ.
Okay.
They could not receive Christ.
Okay.
They rejected him because they could not understand who he was. Now, if we go to verse 16.
It says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel.
Yes.
For Isaiah said, Lord, who had believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Go on.
What I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First, Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation.
So you are getting the reason now. You are getting the reason here.
Okay? Mm-hmm. But Isaiah is very bold and said, I was found of them that sought me
that
not.
That is the Gentiles.
I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me.
Uh-huh.
But to Israel he said, all day long have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people.
Yes. But chapter 11, verse 1
says, I say then, had God cast away his people, God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham,
mm-hmm.
of the tribe of Benjamin.
Yes.
God had not cast away his people, which he foreknew.
Mm-hmm.
Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thy altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so, then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace.
Mm-hmm.
And if by grace, then it is no more of works.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel had not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election had obtained it, and the rest were blinded.
Are you seeing?
According as it is written, God had given them the spirit of
it's
slumber.
God that did it himself.
Eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day.
Mm-hmm.
And David said, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them.
Mm-hmm.
Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always.
Mm-hmm.
I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid.
Uh-huh.
But rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy.
Uh-huh.
Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles,
mm-hmm.
how much more their fullness?
So go to verse 25.
Verse 25 says, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conscience, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles will come in.
So I hope this answer your question, but go ahead.
Okay, verse 26. And so all Israel shall be saved.
All shall be saved.
As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins.
Mm-hmm.
As concerning the gospel,
they
are enemies for your sakes.
For we, the Gentiles, sake, to enable us come
but in. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake.
Uh-huh.
For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
God bless you.
All right.
I hope that question is answered.
Yes. God bless you, Brother Spencer from Lagos State, Nigeria. Okay. We're going to have, let's see as much as we can take. Okay, we have this question from Oguashuku in Delta State, Nigeria. Brother Mark Aiten says, Shalom to the Bride of Christ worldwide. Please, is it wrong to have artificial teeth? Brother Mark Aiten from Oguashuku, Delta State.
I said purpose, motive.
Okay.
Of course, you must chew food now. Thank God to science. God gave wisdom.
No,
when your tooth is removed, then you have to put one to return the shape of your face and enable you to chew.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with it.
All right. God bless you, Brother Mark. Okay, we have other questions coming in. Okay, this call is coming from Sister Antonia. Sister Antonia from Greece. Shalom and God bless you, Sister Antonia.
Shalom, sir. Hello, Daddy.
God bless you, Sister Antonia.
How are you, Daddy?
Fine, and you?
I'm okay, I'm fine. I'm family, I'm in
the street. Thank God. God bless you.
God bless you, sir. Daddy, please, there's a question I want to ask.
Okay.
My daughter is from our side. And any time she's going to school, I always hear her, this host, because of the school.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm also saying I should wear this gown. And in the school, they don't wear gown. Am I saying something?
I've just answered. A small girl like that, they're going to play around, jump around. So, if you put something like that, you know you're not doing it for fashion.
No.
I've just answered. I just finished answering somebody now. The same question.
Yeah, that's what brings the question. He said I should start to get down. I think he knows that dance is good. But in the school,
There is a way that a girl that's 5 years grown up like that going out, the trouser you will wear, the girl will wear it as an inner wear, while the gown will cover it if they have to go out. They have to go to school. The trouser, remember the purpose of wearing that trouser is because of the way they play around and things like that. So it is only normal. It will become an inner wear and then a gown covers it so that she will look like a woman, not a man.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. God bless you.
All right, God bless you, Sister Antonia. God bless you. Thank you for calling in from Greece. Okay. Good evening, my beloved pastor and brother. Please, sir, according to Romans chapter 14, verse 4, are we wrong when we tell the people to stop putting on trousers, painting, makeup, and artificial things? Are we judging them by telling them to stop those things? Please advise, sir. God bless you. Sister Florence from South Africa. Keep
When you begin to preach to someone, and all you are telling them is pointing their sins to them.
Mm.
You are judging them. Okay. We are not to judge them. Christ, let's see John chapter 3. John chapter 3.
Okay.
Now, verse 16.
John 3 verse 16.
In fact, from verse 14, okay. I like the way he put it.
From verse 14.
Yes.
And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
Eternal life.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Now, verse 17 is my emphasis.
Verse 17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world.
Again.
But for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world.
But
the world through him
but that the world,
but that the world through him might
be saved. So when we go out on evangelism, every human being knows that the estate that we are in, we need a savior. We present that savior to them. We present the work of God through Christ on the cross on Calvary to them. When you receive Christ, it is when they now believe and they come in, then you will see how this is fulfilled in Ephesians chapter 5.
Okay.
Now, in Ephesians chapter 5 from verse 25.
Ephesians chapter 5 verse 25 says, yes. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word.
Now, you see, okay, that what?
That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish.
Now, it is when you come in, then you are dressed.
Okay.
You are washed
with
all the nyama-nyama you came from the world to Christ. Let them come to Christ first. If not, you are condemning them. You are judging them. And it is not a proper approach. Show them love. But when they believe, then you show them. Now that you believe, Christ will not have you do this. Christ will not have you do this. And that is what we present it to them. God bless you.
All right. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. It says shalom, Pastor Moses Alu, Brother Oba. We say shalom to you from us here too as well. Indeed, I'm blessed with the true doctrinal teachings. Oh, glory, hallelujah. So question, sir, is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, Revelation 5, 12, and Proverbs 9, verse 1 and 2. I want to know what is freely given us. Please, sir. Is Revelation 5, 12 the seventh thing freely given to us? Explain. God bless you, Bright TV. Probably we still have that question on the screen so that we can read all the scriptures.
We can't read all those scriptures.
Okay.
It's making reference to the scriptures. Yes. The point there is there are things that are freely given to us. And the things that are freely given to us are the benefit of the cross.
Okay.
And part of the things that are freely given to us is what we see in Psalm 103, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay.
Psalm
103.
Sorry. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And these benefits are free.
Okay.
He forgiveth all thy iniquities. Healeth all thy diseases. Redeemeth thy life from destruction. Crowned thee with loving kindnesses and tender mercy, and satisfied thy mouth with good things, so that the youth is renewed like the eagles. The benefit of the cross are the free things that he has given us. The gift of life is a free gift. It's a gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Freely we receive. Freely. Freely we receive. God bless you.
All right. God bless you. Okay, so okay, and this is says, good evening, sir. I have two questions. First, as a Christian, you are facing financial challenges leading to debt, and I've been praying to God for provision of the money with all the struggling to pay the money and nothing is showing forth. What will such a Christian do? And the second question is that the more you pay tithe, the more you face financial challenges. What will such a Christian do? Sister Peace from Benue State.
No, first and foremost, there is no solution to prayers.
Okay.
I want us to note that when it comes to financial blessings, I want you to know that God is not a magician.
Okay.
It is what you sow that you reap. And sometimes the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 3 where he said that all our ways we shall acknowledge God and he will direct our path. Sometimes the foundation of our prosperity is faulty. We did not acknowledge God. In our business, we did not acknowledge God. And there are various ways of acknowledging God. So I'm paying tithe is not a contract. Remember that you are not paying tithe from nothing. You have been blessed. It is out of what you have been blessed you are paying tithe from. So don't make it look as if I am paying tithe, I am not prospering. You can as well say, I have given my life to Christ and I'm still suffering. The Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Why not find out, why is my estate like this? Merciful God will let you understand why these things are surrounding you. Sometimes they are trials, sometimes they are lessons, sometimes we are paying for our sins, sometimes foolishness. And sometimes it is actually an outright attack because of the faith. And when God, when you go before the Lord in prayer, he reveals what is the cause and shows us the way out because he's a deliverer. God bless you. And what's the second part of it?
You've answered all questions.
God bless you.
All right. God bless you and God bless you everyone back home. We really appreciate you for hanging with us this long and thank you for always being right on air or joining us from whatever medium you're joining us. We also want to appreciate the financiers of the Bright TV. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you so much for being there. God bless you so much. We appreciate everyone behind the scene for all you've done to make sure that the program keeps airing every Monday 7 p.m. We truly appreciate you. And from every one of us, we say shalom, 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 shalom. God bless you and thank you for being with us right here on Ask the Pastor. Shalom once again from every one of us. God bless you.